With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu. America. We are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Tonight, as Doomsaw continues to bite hard, fresh controversy has erupted, pitching the state power generator against private power producers. We'll hear from senior staff of VRA as they warn IPPs to stay off the assets. More from strongly worded statement from the VRA senior staff with fears of judgment debts in the power sector. Tonight, as Doomsaw continues to bite hard, fresh controversy has erupted, pitching the state power generator against private power producers. Senior staff of the Volta River Authority has been tearing into the chamber of IPPs Ghana and the ECG for what they refer to as, quote, clandestine moves to privatize the state power generator. According to them, some individuals and groups are discrediting the importance VRA plays in Ghana's power sector with the aim of selling it to their cronies. But the senior staff association say they will use every means available to them to ensure Ghanaians enjoy affordable power by resisting the sale of VRA. They are also accusing ECG for underpaying VRA, which is threatening the financial survival of the authority. This is contained in a letter to their management for issues to be addressed, which Joy News has cited. My colleague MFA Apeu joins me in studio with details of all of this letter to the management that we have seen. Now, MFA, why is the association making the claim about, first of all, let's start from the curtailment of power. They are warning that something could happen.
Well, it's as part of an impact assessment, environmental impact assessment that was carried out during the feasibility studies phase of the project, indicates that the construction of the dam would cause an inundation of the northwestern plains of Togo and Benin. You know that there are threats now from Burkina Faso following that directive from the president for us to curtail power and supply locally. There could be the possibility of Burkina Faso also damming the Bagri Dam or expanding the Bagri Dam and start their own power supply. Well, this situation caused the government of Ghana and the VRA back then to sign a bilateral agreement and these two countries to supply them with electric power from the Akonsombo Dam when the project was completed. Okay. So that's what we are currently, implementing until this latest directive. So for the Senior Staff Association, once we continue to curtail power to Burkina Faso and other neighboring countries like Ivory Coast, amongst others, it may lead to a judgment debt which will be paid by VRA, and the staff is concerned about that, and also will be paid by the people of Ghana, who are already burdened with several other payments once we continue to curtail power to Burkina Faso, especially.
Now, they also go on to accuse Electricity Company of Ghana of some underpayment. What exactly are they saying?
Well, this issue about the cash waterfall mechanism, at least your desk has been on this matter for a while now. So the Senior Staff Association, as part of their communication to the leadership, also raised concerns. So a background to this, they say the cash waterfall mechanism was revised in August 2023 following the challenges with ECG complying with the existing guidelines per the cash waterfall mechanism. And they insists that this was aimed at enforcing the guidelines to enhance its effectiveness. It is instructive to state that per the revised CWM, ECG is required to pay a minimum of 1 billion Ghana cedis as energy sales revenue into the cash waterfall mechanism every month to be shared among players in the sector. Well, per the revised CWM, it guarantees a payment of $43 million and to the ECG contracted IPPs monthly. Now, the irony of this situation is that some IPPs who are not generating any megawatts onto the grid now are also paid from the cash waterfall mechanism. Now, the SOEs, especially VRA, are disadvantaged as they are not fully paid. And where they are even paid, they are not adequately compensated for the forex exchange losses as a result of the work that they do. So for them, this sadly defeats the objective of the revised cash waterfall mechanism, which was to ensure that revenues collected from the electricity market is allocated across the electricity market equitably and transparently, which for them is not being done. So in the recent validation of the ECG amount by the PricewaterhouseCoopers, the report mentioned that an analysis of their bank statement noted a net difference of 690 million Ghana cedis between total collections declared on the cash waterfall mechanism approved schedules and the inflows consolidated from the account statement. It goes on to give further explanations and
that they billed the ECG one billion. Mm-hmm. But only 300 million was captured by the cash waterfall mechanism.
Exactly.
They're asking who pays for the 700 million cedis that's left. So,
and the impact on the work that they do.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So it's the cash waterfall mechanism is a whole lot of, a whole ball game altogether. But they're also warning about, some privatization that they've heard. Mm-hmm. What exactly are their fears?
So, we've heard from the CEO of the Independent Power Generators, the IPP Ghana, Dr. Eli Kulima Petogbo, and they wonder if his statement on electricity export by VRA and privatization of VRA's thermal assets in the media are his personal sentiment or the views of the group he purports to represent. So for them, that comment, first, they want clarity on whether it was just his personal sentiment or is the IPP as a group that are pushing for the privatization of VRA. They also continue to say that they are aware of the clandestine efforts of some IPPs to take over VRA's export markets and thermal assets. Therefore, they are not surprised at such suspicious outbursts from the representative of their supposed partners. Now, they wish to reiterate that VRA is the only strategic state-owned providing and guaranteeing the energy security for the people of Ghana, and for that of its assets must be put on sale. The authority is efficient in operating and they are concerned if there is any move for this privatization to happen. They say it should not happen, and that's the advice they are giving to management on this. We are yet to hear officially from the VRA following these concerns raised by the Senior Staff Association. That remains to be seen whether indeed VRA will be privatized or not, or even if there are talks for that to happen in the first place.
Thank you. That's my colleague, MFA Apau there. Let's broaden this discussion by speaking to stakeholders in the space. And Dr. Kwabena Donko is Ghana's former power minister. He joins us on the telephone now. Doc, I'm grateful to you for joining us. Let's start from the curtailment of power to our neighboring countries. What's the arrangement surrounding the supply of power to those countries?
I believe that question should be directed at the ministry or at VRA. As an outsider, I'm not in a position to speak about the arrangements.
Because you've been a minister of that sector before, that's why I wanted to find out from you. When you were the minister, what was the arrangement that you knew of?
Yeah, look, the export of power to neighboring countries is in Ghana's strategic interest. And therefore, it is unpatriotic for anybody to want to curtail that. Whoever curtails that is doing a disservice to Ghana. We had load shedding during our time. We never curtailed it. If it's arising out of the challenges you have, assuming you were to give 100 megawatts and you speak to them that, look, we have challenges. So instead of 100, we will burden share. So you have 60 or you have 70. That is a position that everybody will understand, so that you are burden sharing. But if you are asked to curtail, not to supply them, because we have domestic challenges and that it is in somebody's short political interest to supply all the power to Ghana to the exclusion of the neighborhood, then we are digging a very deep hole for Ghana. Look, the voter takes a source outside Ghana. Burkina can decide to put up more dams on their stretch of the Volta. If that happens, Ghana suffers. And that is why I'm saying this, unpatriotic. And I say this with all seriousness, for anybody to want to disrupt the supply of power to our neighbors, it is in our national strategic interest, indeed, in our national security interest. That does not mean we cannot burden share. If we are candid, we have a generational shortfall of 300 megawatts. The domestic market, which is Ghana, can take part of the shortfall. And then we can talk to our neighbors and also reduce by some margin what we are contracted to sell to them. That is good neighborliness. That is what will protect the security of energy supply for Ghana.
So is it true what we've been told tonight, that it's possible we can incur some judgment debt by that particular action to curtail power?
Well, we have contracts. We have contracts. And if you unilaterally decide not to honor contracts, there are consequences to contracts. Aren't they?
Sure, there are.
Yeah, there are. So, because of the temporary electoral gains that this government wants, and I am extremely disappointed, we are jettisoning the strategic national interest of Ghana. We are thinking of making Ghana the real center of the West African power pool arrangement. But if we exhibit such unreliability because of our own partisan interest, we also endanger that.
All right. Doc, stay on the line for me. Let me bring in Nana Amwesi V. He is the executive director for the Institute of Energy Security. Nana, I'm grateful for joining us. Now, must the thermal plant of VRA, because of the financial state of the company, be privatized to ensure efficiency?
Unfortunately, Kojo, I am struggling to hear you. If you could interrupt your voice.
Nana, can you hear me now? Nana, can you hear me now?
It's better.
Okay, so I'm trying to find out from you whether or not, whether it's good we privatize the thermal asset of the VRA, looking at the financial state of the company now.
Well, first we must ask what are the challenges and operations of the Water River Authority? Are they being inefficient? For which reason we want to introduce a supporting scheme? I admit that we must privatize the VRA. We believe that if we have to do anything, we should start looking at downstream. And it's the ECG system that has the challenges of, power losses.
Hello, Nana. Nana Mwesi. Hello, Nana.
Hello, Kojo. Can you hear me?
So your line tripped a bit, but it's okay now.
Is it better?
Yes, please.
Good. So the ECG is the point within the value chain that has the inefficiency contributing to the low revenue we collect at the end of the day, and for which reason we are having this financial constraints in the sector. The ECG loses close to 30% of the power transmitted to them for technical and commercial reasons. And so we need to address those challenges in there so that the whole power system can be liquid enough to operate unhindered. And so if we have to do anything at all, then we should rather focus on ECG, but not VRA. VRA is at a very strategic position. Currently, as the VRA that the government uses to supply fuel to the IPPs, VRA have proven over time that they are also capable of operating thermal power units. They were the first to run an aerodynamic power unit in Ghana before the others were introduced. And so we won't support that idea. We must rather focus downstream and on the ECG, but not the VRA.
Interesting there. But if you look at, I mean, the fact that we are in a state where we are even confronted with Dumso. Now we've had the VRA, which is the state power generator, fighting with the independent power producers. How do we then deal with that to ensure that the power sector itself is efficient?
Of course, we have seen clearly that the power sector is lacking that necessary leadership and to resolve some of these issues easily for us as a country. Over time, you've seen a rift between the PRC and ECG, a rift between the ECG and GRECO, and now it's between the VRA and the IPPs. I think that each of them play a special role and unique task. If we can have a leadership that ensures that each part functions as it's designed, then of course this contradiction and conflict may not arise. But if you have a whole minister who comes and say that PRC cannot have the timetable, and the PRC needs a timetable, it must provide one for itself, then it means that you are putting the ECG against the PRC. And so leadership is something that we require to address some of these issues. And it's the wrong time to be seeing some of this thing play out. And we believe that when we have the right leadership, some of these issues may be addressed.
Okay. We've also been joined on the line by Ishmael Ejikumhenehizi.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Executive Director for the Kumasi Institute of Technology and Environment, KITE. I'm grateful to you, sir. It clearly appears that the state-owned enterprises are at a disadvantage with regards to the cash waterfall mechanism. How must this be dealt with?
Well, so long as you have revenue shortfall and there is a firm promise to the IPPs to be paid a certain quantum of money, once that promise is honored, the amount of money left in the kitty will definitely not be sufficient. So what we also need to find out, I mean, clearly, if you look at what PRC, the report that the PRC provides on the cash waterfall mechanism, clearly, even the $1 billion that you are supposed to put in there, they are not able to do the $1 billion. And if they are not doing the $1 billion and the city is depreciating, it means more and more of the limited amount that goes into the cash waterfall mechanism will end up being used to pay for the $43 million. So the way forward, I mean, this cash waterfall mechanism has always been a temporary measure. It's not the solution to the revenue shortfalls, the challenges in the sector. The bottom line is that the electricity that is sold, the money that is, you buy electricity and you sell the electricity, should be able to account for the electricity that you bought and sold. Once every money that is supposed to be collected, mind you, the losses are all already catered for by the PRC, the regulatory benchmark is provided for, catered for. So if every money, the 98% that they're supposed to collect, if that money is collected, everybody will be paid. That's the solution. The cash waterfall mechanism has always been a temporary measure to ensure that there's some transparency in how ECG pays or gives back the money that they collect from the customers. Long-term solution, the PRC regulatory benchmark says you buy electricity, you build the electricity, you collect 98% of that. If that is done, everybody will be paid.
If you look at this, the letter that we've seen from the senior staff, they say that currently VRA is producing around 1,777 megawatt, of power, whilst the IPPs are doing a little over 800 megawatt, but they are still underpaid, and they talk of how that is affecting their finances in order to run the company. So, How must we deal with this to ensure that VRA is not run aground?
So, yes, it's not just VRA. It's all the state-owned power utilities. Everybody will be struggling. The question that, and I mean, the senior staff, I'm sure they understand it better than probably I do. The issue here is that it's not enough to say that they are only doing 39% of the current generation capacity. We need to ask why, because in that statement they said they have about 2,150 megawatts available, but they are only doing 856. The question is that if they are not producing because we haven't given them fuel, mind you, we've signed contracts with IPP to say that we will give them fuel. If they are not running their generators because you haven't given them fuel, then you still pay them for capacity charge because they've declared availability. So I suspect that's the reason why some people are not producing, but they are getting paid because, mind you, what is being paid to them is not just energy charges. It's the capacity plus energy charge that they pay them. So if we go sign a contract and we say we'll give somebody fuel to generate and we are not giving them the fuel, they will still charge their capacity. They'll collect their capacity charges. But whatever it is, I mean, if you look at what led to this revision of the cash waterfall mechanism, it wasn't working, and then this thing was revised. This was done in June 2023. That's when the new model was put in place. Just check. Let's follow the trend. Are we even getting the $1 billion that is supposed to allow everybody to get the money? And is the exchange rate that was used to determine the $43 million US dollars, that if you check June 2023, the exchange rate has changed significantly. So if ECG is not doing $1 billion and the exchange rate has also worsened, then you still have short little money to distribute to everybody. On top of that, Ministry of Finance, if you look at the cash waterfall mechanism, Ministry of Finance is supposed to pay whatever shortfall that is due the state-owned utilities. They are not paying that as well. So that's the current problem. There is cash crunch in the power sector. And bottom line, if we are buying X amount of power and there's tariff for that power, the one who is buying the power should be able to collect the power they sell and pay everybody in the value chain.
Dr. Donko, you see clearly that this is a case of someone working and someone enjoying, because VRS says, I'm doing over 1,500 megawatts. Someone is doing 800. But he is enjoying steadily $43 million a month. And I am not being paid for what I supply. How do we ensure that there is equity here to ensure that VRA gets paid for what it supplies?
It's unfortunate the VRA senior staff are putting up this impression. They should understand contracts better. VRA's biggest asset is hydro with a capacity of 1,020. And then if you add the coal with a capacity of 160. So if VRA is largely using hydro is a legacy asset. And therefore, our obligations, we have repaid all the loans for the VRA, the two hydro. And therefore, the cash crunch on VRA is not the same as for the thermal plants. In any case, a number of the VRA thermal plants are simple cycle plants. They are not efficient. That is the bottom line. The Contema plant is a simple cycle plant. And therefore, it will use more fuel to produce 1 megawatt than, let's say, VRA's own TAPCO in Takoradi if it is running. So the senior staff, they have legitimate concerns, but they are also expressing them extremely. They are playing to the public gallery in the presentation.
But Doc, I mean, isn't it a worry that someone is doing over 1,000 megawatt and someone is doing 800, but he's being paid than the one who's producing more?
Again, that is not accurate.
Okay.
That is not accurate.
What is accurate then?
On some days, we are generating up about 3,000 or 2,500. So it can, that number. They have just chosen a particular day and used that. And as with data, you can pick data on different days and get different outcomes. That again is not right. I appreciate where BRA is coming from. The question of the cash waterfall mechanism, remember, the policy was introduced in 2015 when I was minister. The cash waterfall mechanism was never meant to be a solution to the cash crunch. It was meant to, and is still meant to, more efficiently distribute what is collected. So when there is an under-recovery in collection, the cash waterfall will not bridge the under-recovery. However, what it does is, unlike the previous regime, where ECG decided how much to pay each player in the sector, and in any case, let me put this across, every player in the sector is being underpaid. That is the bottom line. Even with the $43 million agreed that IPP should be paid, that is not the invoice price. They are rolling over the difference between invoice price and what they are paid into the future. And that is why they are building up a debt stock for the next government. And that is extremely worrying. So let's not create the impression that the IPPs are being paid all that. They are being paid their invoice prices. They are not.
So it means it's a worry that a debt has been accumulated. How do we then deal with it? And also ensure that VRA, which is the state enterprise in this space, is well liquidated to ensure they continue doing the things they're doing efficiently.
Yeah, let me also clear this. VRA is not the only state enterprise in the power sector. There is Greco, which is also 100% owned by the good people of Ghana.
And Greco has also been crying about non-payment.
Yeah. So that is why I am saying that the underpayment cuts across all players. It is not simply a VRA situation. Bui Power is probably the worst. VRA is far better than Bui Power because VRA has international contracts and have contracts with the mines and they are paid for those ones. Bui Power's only customer is ECG. And ECG, some moms, only pays less than 40% to Bui Power of their invoice. So let's not create the impression that it is only VRA. We have a liquidity challenge. We have a challenge of under-recovery. We have a challenge of the impact of poor macroeconomic management on the power sector.
Okay. Mm. Well, to be fair, they have been stating that it is them and other state enterprises in the power sector who are underpaid. So they acknowledge that point.
No, again, that is not the whole truth. The truth is that the IPPs are also underpaid.
Okay, okay.
So every player is underpaid. Mm. So we have a challenge. And it's a legitimate concern they raise. But let's not create the impression that it is only VRA that is underpaid or only the SOEs. Everybody in that value chain, including ECG.
Okay, doctor, I'm grateful. Let me begin. Nanamwesi, look, the power sector is central to national development, be it industrialization, commerce, service. How do we overcome these challenges that the sector is plagued with and ensure that one party won't try scoring one point over the other?
Well, Kojo, I think that other panelists have put it right, that we have a crunch in the system. Until we are able to collect the revenues efficiently, we'll continue struggling as a country to meet the demands of the various assets or utilities, be it a state-owned enterprise or an IPP. What we must do as a country is to invest, particularly in the ECG, where the leakages exist, and ensure that we have the right tariffs, the right billing system, and the right revenue collection system, a very robust one, supported by technology. We must get to a point where we are able to identify theft easily and able to collect our revenues on time. Thank God, we have a prepayment system, yet as a country, we still have some customers that are postpaid. And that's where the problem lies. And most of these customers may be found within the government, you know, structure or entities. If we're able to do all this and ensure that each person is paying the right tariff and is paying on time, or the UCD is collecting on time, and distributing equitably and transparently to all the sector players, every asset within this value chain, be it the transmitter or the power producer or distributor or fuel supplier, will be, of course, you know, retooled enough or financed enough to address their challenges in the sector. Then, of course, the fuel supply dimension. Let me put this forward. We can understand the frustration of the VRA, and they must channel this towards government.
Okay, all right.
If they can also work with their export partners, the people that buy their power, so that they can prepay or pre-finance some of this fuel that we need to generate more power, it could be a good idea.
Okay,
but at least let's reference the export market for the VRA so that they can have some form of assurance of revenue flow. At this moment.
Okay, thank you very much. And I'm grateful to you for joining us. He is Executive Director of the Institute for Energy Security. Dr. Kwabena Dokwa is former Power Minister, and Ishmael Ejekunhene is Executive Director for KITE. Well, that's it for Top Story. Up next is Newsnight.